Okay, Terry, if you want to go ahead and get started, we don't have a quorum, so we'll skip
Okay.
over. And if Becky and Amanda come on, we'll pause real quick and throw the minutes in. And if not, we'll just grab the minutes at the March meeting.
Do we need both of them or just one of them?
Both of them.
Okay, all right. So I'd like to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. Is there any public comment? All right, as I see none, we'll move on. We're going to hold on the minutes. We're going to talk about the FY25 budget and grant application. Devin's going to talk to us about that.
Yes, thank you. Happy New Year to everyone. Hey, Amanda. Mark you as present. So the FY25 budget is in the process of being finalized. Like other goods and services impacted by inflation, the cost of delivering transit service will be higher for operating and capital expenses in the upcoming fiscal year. So we did see the contract costs will be going up to reflect an increase in revenue hours. As you can remember, in the TDP, we had planned to implement Saturday paratransit service. But due to paratransit just being very high demand, we went ahead and used that extra time to add a midday second bus. So hopefully in FY25, we can actually move forward with doing our Saturday paratransit service. In addition to the revenue hours going up, the contract costs will go up to keep driver pay competitive for recruitment and retention of drivers. Additionally, some increased costs for the facility can be seen. The building is starting to get a little bit older, so that means a few more replacement and repair costs for the original equipment that is part of the building. And some fuel costs have gone up as well. So overall, that just means that you might see an increase when you get your locality assessments or when
so
we send out
right,
the invoices later in the year.
This one right here.
So those percentage increases among what I've talked about range between 2% and 8%, with the facility being about higher of a 12% increase just for those expected and unexpected repairs. So moving through that, so we'll be starting the grant applications for the state, which are due February 1st, and we'll be making application for rural and urban operating and capital cost of contracting, commuter assistance program operating, which is our rideshare program, and we will also be putting in for a technical assistance grant for microtransit feasibility study. And that scope of work will not only look at supplementing underperformance fixed route service, but also looking at it as being an option to increase mobility in the service area. So with that, I'll open it up if anyone has any questions about the budget and grant applications that we'll be putting in.
Any questions or comments? All right, as I hear none, we'll move on to an update on the Valley Community Services Board stop by Devin.
Yes, and I'll apologize in advance that this is mostly me today on this meeting, so you will get tired of my voice, but hopefully we will keep it short and sweet. So as you, we will continue to evaluate the options available to serve Valley Community Services Board. As you might remember from the November meeting, is interested in reinstating a stop at their offices on Sanger Lane and becoming a funding partner again. So as we discussed back in November, this will take some time to vet through multiple meetings, because as you all know, the 250 is the tightest route time-wise, and there's just a lot of development along that corridor to serve. So once we submit those grant applications in February, we'll be able to have some more time to meet with Valley Community Services Board and BRT to gather that information needed with projected and actual usage, some peak times, the actual availability of that gravel lot across the street, looking at any underutilized stops that could be removed off the route to help serve the location within the time constraints. And then we'll take all that information to be able to propose some alternatives for you to consider, hopefully by spring, early summer.
Okay.
any questions on Valley Community Services Board?
All right, Devin, if you want to move, I mean, I'm sorry, Ann, could you give us a Lewis Street Hub update, please?
Sure, thanks. Thanks, Terry, and hi, everybody. So we have crossed some new milestones with Lewis Street Hub since we last met. The City of Stanton has approved our site plan for the rehab of the lot, and we are hopefully within a few working days of posting our invitation for bids so that we can get going on this project this spring. So we're still working with the City of Stanton and VRT and our consultant, Kim Lee Horn, to finalize where the buses will hub while we're under construction, since they can't be on site. So and working through that and then developing a communications plan, again, in partnership with the city, to make sure that both residents and business owners downtown and our riders understand kind of what those temporary changes will be, and some pardon our dust kinds of communications to make sure everybody knows that while it might be a little less than convenient for a few months, the end result will be wonderful. So there we are in Lewis Street.
Thank you, Ann. Any questions or comments? All right, we'll move on to a mobile data collection update by Devin.
Yes, so this has also seen a little bit more traction in the past few months. So we continue to move forward with the implementation of the mobile data collection system, which is that back-end software for collecting data and also real-time GPS for the buses. So the mobile data terminals have been installed on all the buses, thanks to VRT staff for taking that in stride, because that was a little tricky to implement, but we worked through it pretty well. And so now that those are installed on the buses, we Passio will be hosting an on-site training with PDC and VRT staff, along with our consultant from Kimley Horn, next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. So once those trainings have been conducted, we'll kind of go through a soft launch period, which will include a time of both paper and electronic gathering, just to make sure there are no kinks in the software. And from there, we'll kind of move into that more hard launch period and start collecting some data in a little bit easier fashion. That'll help VRT staff as well as PDC staff.
Any questions on that? Comments? All right. Devin is going to give us an update on the Apton Express.
Yes, give me one second to make sure I'm sharing my screen. Paula was able to pull together some slides for you all. Can everyone see? Are you seeing presenter or are you seeing normal?
Looks like it's presenter.
Yeah.
How about now?
No, it's good.
Okay, perfect. Well, like I said, Paula was so gracious to put together some slides on the annual rider survey that we conducted for Apton Express. So as you remember, she compiled an annual report last year with a lot of anecdotal but also performance metrics information, just to give a clear snapshot on the great things that Apton Express does. And so we thought we would just give you a little quick preview of what will be in the next annual report. So that annual rider survey was available from November 13th through December 15th, and we received 67 responses. And of course, we provided a prize drawing to kind of boost that response rate. I even wanted to take the survey so I could win a Kindle, but Alas. So we did have a winner that was chosen, and she will be getting her Kindle this week. So we did base the survey around questions focused on utilization, barriers to access, customer service, customer experience, and rider demographics. So this data will be combined and should complement the performance metrics, and that'll all be reflected in the annual report, which should be published at the end of this month, early next month. So looking at some of that utilization and barriers to access, about 84% of survey respondents ride regularly or occasionally, and about 16% that took the survey do not ride. And of those, about 81% would like to, but face barriers to access, such as the schedule not working for their schedule, not understanding the schedule or knowing how to ride, or not having a way to access the bus stop. About 84% of those riders that took the survey that use Afton Express to commute to and from work. So that kind of shows where Paula has been telling you, I think, through some of her Afton Express updates, that some folks are utilizing Afton to connect to Amtrak. So it's not fully commuter, but definitely a majority of commuters. And riders are primarily traveling from the Valley to Charlottesville, with just a small percentage, about 15%, doing the reverse commute, which we knew was always possible to do if you figure it out. So a good number of folks have learned to figure that out. And lastly, the most common reason for riding was to save money on gas, vehicle maintenance, and parking fees. So customer experience, it's always nice to hear what you're doing right and where you can improve. Sounds like we are doing things right for friendly drivers and staff. So definitely a big kudos to Virginia Regional Transit for having a good staff on hand to answer questions and be there for the for the passengers. I know the passengers really have their like favorite drivers, so it's nice to hear those little anecdotal pieces. They also enjoy the reliability and relaxing environment that's on Afton Express. And then where we can improve, better delivery of fare cards for UVA-affiliated riders. There was a little bit of a snag on where UVA riders can purchase their fare cards directly from UVA's website, but then they don't have the staff capacity to really be able to get those in a expedient way. So hopefully in FY25, I think we have figured out a way to get them all situated, so that should no longer be a barrier for them and should make it a whole lot easier actually for UVA affiliated riders to ride. Obviously they would like to see expanded AM and PM times. I know Paula and I have heard many a times of getting there at that 8 o'clock time, so hopefully we found a way to utilize that third bus in the coming year and be able to hit that peak time that folks are looking for without having a domino effect on the overall schedule. And then lastly, adding more stops and increasing access. So we'll take all of that information into account, and we track any and all feedback that we get, so we have it on hand in the case that we have room to grow. So like I said, all of this and more will be in the annual report, and that should be out end of this month, early next month. I think that's it.
Any questions? All right. I see that Becky has joined us. Do we want to go ahead and go over the minutes?
We certainly can.
All right. Did everybody get a chance to review the minutes from last meeting? Any questions, comments? All right. Is there a motion to approve November minutes?
I'll move to approve.
This is all right. Leslie. Thank you, Leslie. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, Alzan, thank you. All in favor, do we raise our hand on Zoom? Do we say aye? I don't know the protocol.
Go ahead and just raise your hand.
Raise your hand if you, all right, any opposed? All right, minutes or so moved.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. We're going to move on to a contractor update by Phil, please.
Good afternoon. I apologize that Steve is not with us. He is actually operating a Afton Express vehicle this evening, so he is getting the full experience. And this morning, I caught the Afton Express and rode it to Charlottesville, and caught Foothills Express and rode that to Culpeper, and it was just a wonderful experience on both buses. Just the drivers did amazing. The weather was much better than yesterday, and the ride was just really nice. So you've got a great program going on. Some of the notes that Steve has left for me to deliver to you all. December ridership for 2023 landed at 15,849 rides, which is a 19% increase over December of 2022, which was right around 13,000 and change. So the routes are performing well. You're climbing back out of the pandemic downturn, and that's great news. Virginia Regional Transit continues to actively recruit for fully endorsed drivers. We're not at a critical point, although my manager's out driving today, but we're not at a critical point. What we're doing is upstaffing for those times when people need vacation, when sicknesses happen and we need to backfill with some other vehicle operators. So that's what we're trying to achieve at this time with that recruitment. And we do have several out due to illness at this time. So just one of those things where y'all hit at the same time. We have introduced into service two brand new 20-passenger buses, and that'll make five brand new vehicles in the Bright Transit system in the last calendar year. So that's really good news as well to keep that image looking good and keep our passengers comfortable. And of course, less mileage on a vehicle makes it a little easier to maintain. So we're glad to have those new vehicles in service in the Shenandoah Valley. So that's all that I have to deliver today.
Any questions, comments? All right, we'll move on to other business.
Yes, I had some other business, and then I'll open it up to the floor. Crystal last year had noted Transit Equity Day falls in early February, so this year it'll fall on Monday, February the 5th. And I know other transit agencies have done fare-free days, so we were thinking of potentially doing a fare-free day just to celebrate Transit Equity Day, but didn't know if anyone had any other suggestions or promotions that you would like us to see implemented.
I mean, if you have any social media posts, just kind of informational type posts that we could share on our various social platforms, that would be something that might be great to send out on the 5th.
Okay.
We can get it on our website too.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll put together a little social media campaign and do fare-free rides. Thanks to Crystal for pointing that out. I think Hampton Roads was the example that we had looked at last year, so we'll take a look at some other things some other transit agencies have done, but I think that's a nice holiday to celebrate on our end.
Anything else? Any other business? My birthday's on the 4th, so we could all meet on the bus and you bring me cupcakes and stuff. I mean, it's just an idea.
I think we should definitely do that.
All right, if there's no other business, our next meeting will be March the 13th. And I will adjourn the meeting at 2:49. Thank y'all for coming. Have a great week.
Yes, thank you all so much. Terry, happy pre-birthday.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.